So here we have a king, a throne, in a throne room, with the usual impressive panoply of dazzling angels always present, along with a gaggle of representatives from all the nations who are soon in for a big surprise. The first thing that happens is that instead of being given a name tag, each delegate is separated into one of two groups identified as sheep on the right, goats on the left. The immediate concern I had this past Tuesday, realizing that Sermon Sunday is coming up, I really had trouble with this Bible's preference for right-handedness as opposed to left-handedness. Not good news for you who may be left-handed, and not much better news for the goats either. As a matter of fact, I discovered on Wednesday of this week, in olden times, mixed flocks of sheep and goats were common. But it was necessary to separate them when night came, for goats needed to shelter from the cold, while the sheep preferred to remain outdoors. Both goats and sheep needed, however, to be moved out of danger, especially at night. Well, the first and immediate attention by the king is given to the sheep. Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then the king turns to the goats on his left and says, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Frankly, I just don't get this tone of judgment and condescension and condemnation. What's this preference for sheep as opposed to the goats? They are both useful on old MacDonald's farm. Sheep can be an utter pain in the neck. I know this because I used to babysit Judge Swift's sheep over in Bow Lane. It was the nastiest job of my life. Sheep are easily spooked and scattered. They can be cantankerous toward each other. They easily get themselves lost. They never look up. Only on the ground a source for food. They seem to have no common sense whatsoever. But they are, you know, so cute as lambs, and they win us over for a short period of time. And according to the Bible, they make a good example of community, God's people, God's flock. Certainly an image used frequently for the Israelites themselves. Sheep can be good, useful, and naughty. But then, so can goats. But that's the end of it. You and I have to get beyond the judgmentalism, the rancor about sheep and goats, for all this is clearly not the gist of this gospel lesson we've heard this morning. There is rather an underlying message of compassion and justice in this reading. As Susanna Metz observes, God will examine the flock to see which ones are being unjust, greedy, uncaring, nasty. And God examines us in just the same way. Leaders must take care to understand what God is saying about good leadership. Leaders of all types, both secular and religious, politicians and professionals, teachers and police departments, both sheep and goats must care for those they lead. People from all ranks of life, of humanity, have to learn the core value of stewardship and compassionate service to all of humanity, especially the neediest, the lowliest, the most vulnerable in society amongst us. The standard and bar of judgment for everyone could not be made clearer except in this passage from Matthew 25. This core value, this lifestyle of caring, reaching out, providing, supporting one another, loving just as God loves, sacrificing just as God does, forgiving just as God does. Getting into heaven is as simple and as demanding as that. It is our MasterCard, our travel coupon, our meal ticket to eternal life. Jesus said it all in John's Gospel, chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Here then is the key to God's door lock, the key to God's heart, and the actual PIN number to God's judgment account upon us. The quality and the depth of our caring in the smallest of circumstances is God's standard of reference. That's how we abide with God forever. Well, this final Sunday of the church year has traditionally been known as Christ the King Sunday. The Ephesians passage we heard this morning has been called oftentimes the second ascension of Jesus, because he was placed far above all authority and he rules on this magnificent Sunday that we honor with the dazzling white. But this is no strange irony to what we've been talking about, however. Today's gospel gives us a glimpse of final judgment, the throne room scene of God's estimation and challenge to us. Matthew's picture of the judgment has no other parallel in the other gospels, strangely enough, and is a declaration of the need for those who truly serve to perform for Christ in this world. Decades ago, as the Second World War was ending, American GIs liberated a small Italian town from the Nazis. The soldiers passed out chocolates and the usual cigarettes for those who wanted them. But amid all this relief and joy, the mayor hustled toward the army commander and pointed out in the town square the tall stone statue of Christ, which everyone admired. Sadly, the hands of the Christ had been broken off during the occupation. The commander suggested how easy it would be for his men to fashion a new set of hands for the Christ statue. Ah, but the mayor objected. Please don't do that. Please don't fix the statue, for we want always to remember that you Americans were Christ's hands for us. On this Christ the King Sunday, we see how Jesus participated in all the suffering and affliction of the human race. Here is the cosmic vision in which Jesus identifies himself with the sin, suffering, and tragedies we all face, and proclaims a standard which all of us must aim to emulate. I close with a wonderful quote I found on Thursday by Blaise Pascal, and I quote, "Jesus is the God we can approach without pride, and before whom we can humble ourselves without despair." In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, from the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered death and was buried.
On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look